I'd like to thank the worship team for taking time to prepare and share this morning and lead our thoughts and our minds before the Father. And again, this morning, I trust that if you have truly come into the presence of God and experienced Him this morning, you have asked Him to meet with you, I believe that He will meet you without a shadow of a doubt. We have Karen hangs a wreath on the front door of our house, and there's a bird that chose to build a nest on the wreath on the front door. Well, this bird has been a bit of an interesting dynamic, because twice now we opened the door and the bird flew inside, so we had to chase the bird down and get it outside. This week, we discovered that there were eggs in the nest, and this week they began to hatch. And I went out one day this week, and there was one of the little birdies laying outside of the nest. It wasn't down on the ground, but was hanging in the wreath, kind of stuck there. And if you ever saw, this is a finch. It's a little house finch or a purple finch, whatever you might want to call them. And they're very tiny. And there just is no place to get a hold of that little bird. They have real thin skin, and there's little hair sticking out of them, and so I reached in there and I got a hold of a little bit of a hair and put it back in the nest. This morning I was over in my office and I was doing some preparation there for this morning yet, and a button popped off of my coat. And Eric Hirschberger came in and I told him the button popped off my coat. He said, "Well, at least it wasn't your pants." You know, we need each other. That's the bottom line. We need each other. Sometimes we fall out of the nest, and we need someone to help us back in. Sometimes we need to see things from a proper perspective again. We just need a brother to come alongside of us and help us to understand that it's really not quite as bad as you think it is. You see what I'm saying? That's what the body of Christ is. That's what the fellowship of believers is all about. I believe that God has placed the church to be there to encourage each other, to help us to have our brothers and sisters point out the things that we may have lost perspective on, and to help us do that. One of the ways that we do that here at New Covenant is through our lay pastor structure. And this morning is a special morning. We are going to take time this morning to commission Sheldon Huber and Jeff Zimmerman as lay pastors here this morning. And again, I am just so grateful. I cannot express enough how grateful I am for those men that have chosen to be responsible and help to care for the flock, to care for the sheep. You know, there's as much as I would love to be able to interact with each of you personally, I can't do that. So we have put in place small groups, which at this time there's like 14 of them. And so we're looking to maybe expand that a little bit. And so again this morning, feeling like that is a place where our discipleship and the caring for those lay pastors, being the persons who are on the front line caring for people, recognizing things that are going on in someone's life, and being able to share them with us, with Eric, myself, or Dave Stoner, as he is our deacon, and there may be financial needs and that kind of thing. Our lay pastors are there to do that. So if you're a lay pastor this morning, just stand up for a moment just to show that, and the couples, your wives. If you're the lay pastor couples, you just stand up. I know that they're not all here this morning by a long shot. So, yeah, Karen. And here is some of the lay pastors. You can be seated. But thank you for the service that you have given to the church here this morning. Last Sunday, I talked about a horse that I had that I traded. I had a snowmobile, which I wasn't getting much use out of it. My brother needed one, and it was going to Canada, and he needed a snowmobile, so we traded. I got a horse for his snowmobile, a riding horse, and his name was Joe. And then prior to Joe, my father bought us a horse, a riding horse, when I was like 12 years old, and her name was Dolly. Dolly was a quarter horse, black and white, very feisty, full of energy type of horse. And when Dolly was the kind of horse that when you went out in the meadow to fetch her, depending what kind of mood she was in, she would pin her ears back and paw at you. So you didn't really just walk right up to her till you knew what kind of mood she was in. But it was nothing that a sugar lump wouldn't take care of. You know, Dolly would respond to a sugar lump. And she was very pleasant, and Dolly had a lot of heart, very good pet, just to spend a lot of time with that horse. One day, and I just say this in light of being a shepherd and trying to be shepherds that are caring for the flock or caring for what we've been called to care for, unfortunately, we had left a bale of hay set in the entryway, the feedway there that was musty, was moldy. And this was very moldy, dusty hay. And Dolly got into the entryway there and ate the hay that was musty and moldy. And any of you that know anything about horses, not a good thing for a horse to eat musty hay. She developed what they call heaves, where she would cough and cough and cough and until her head was down to ground. If you were riding her when she went into a coughing fit, you almost felt like you were going to fall off in front of her. She'd like her legs were going out from her, and then she'd recover. But it was kind of Dolly's demise. She never recovered from that and weren't able to ride her much anymore. But my point being, you know, you can take care of, you can watch out for the flock. You can watch out and care for all the things that are going on, but there are times you miss things. And that's what I believe that God has placed it here at New Covenant. We have chosen to use the lay pastor system to be those people who be those people that are up front, who have a little more intimate contact with the persons involved that are they're involved with. I'm going to be sharing from Romans 12 this morning. You can turn there, Romans 12, 1 through 8. And just a few thoughts here as we look at the whole idea of the body and the body being one but made up of many members. And, you know, we're all familiar with the body. We use it every day. We realize that we can't scratch our head with our feet. We can't smell with our feet. We stink with our feet, but we don't smell with them. But we can't, there's so many things that the body needs the other parts of the body to do. Some people can walk on their hands, I can't. So, you know, we need our feet to walk on, all that whole thing. And so there is this, we need each other. There is no question about it. We understand that we need each other. But when it comes to the body of Christ, when it comes to the whole structure of the church, the spiritual care and the soul care, I believe there's sometimes we lose sight of what God has planned for us. Reading in Romans 12, 1 through 8, it says this, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same functions, so we being many are one body in Christ and individually members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If to prophesy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, and he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. In verse 2, it says this, and do not be conformed to this world. And I ask you the question in light of the succeeding verses that Paul lays out here about the body of Christ. What is more conformed world thinking than the fact that I don't need you? That's a world thinking. Do not be conformed to this world, but renewed, be transformed in the renewing of your mind, in thinking and understanding. See, Paul goes on. He doesn't stop with verse 2. Many times we read these two verses, 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. A living sacrifice. How are we living sacrifices? We are living sacrifices when we live out what God has called us to. When we live out the gifts that God has given us, as he lays out here, that there is one body, but there are many members. And so we are called to live out those gifts. And not to be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that reasonable, good and acceptable and perfect will of God. What is the purpose of lay pastors? The lay pastors here at New Covenant, we have the purpose of our lay pastors is to assist the pastor in caring for the flock, to care for the sheep, to care for the whatever. If you don't want to be called sheep, the people, God's people, to care for God's people. What is the responsibility of the lay pastor or the under-shepherd or the shepherds? And I'm going to read just a little bit from Ezekiel chapter 33. And I'm going to read verse 1 through 9. And you don't need to turn here. If you want to, you can. But just listen to some of the thoughts that were given to Ezekiel as regards to the watchmen or to the ones who were watching out for and caring for the children of Israel at that time. And it says this in verse 33, in chapter 33, verse 1. Again, the word of the Lord came to me saying, Son of man, speak to the children of your people and say to them, when I bring the sword upon the land, the people of the land take a man from their territory and make him their watchman. When he sees the sword coming upon the land, if he blows the trumpet and warns the people, then whoever hears the sound of the trumpet and does not take warning, if the sword comes and takes him away, his blood shall be on his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet, but did not take warning. His blood shall be upon himself, but he who takes warning will save his life. But if the watchman sees the sword coming and does not blow the trumpet, and the people are not warned, and the sword comes and takes any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at the watchman's hand. And so you, son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. Therefore, you shall hear a sword from my mouth and warn them for me. When I say to the wicked, O wicked man, you shall surely die, and you do not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at your hand. Those are strong words. Strong words to the responsibility of shepherding and taking care of the flock that God has placed in the care of those that he has given. See, we all have to recognize as we look at the whole idea of shepherding. I want you say, Luke, you're talking to lay pastors and pastors this morning. No, I want the whole congregation to understand this morning what the purpose of the lay pastor is, and also the shepherds, those that watch out and care for the flock. First of all, Jesus is the great shepherd. There is no shepherd that is like Jesus. He is the great shepherd. Those of us that care for the flock are under shepherds. We are simply that. We are caring for someone else's sheep. They are not my sheep. You are not my sheep. You are not the lay pastor's sheep. You are the sheep of the great shepherd, okay? And you are the flock of the great shepherd. And then in Hebrews 13, 17 is an instruction that I believe that is given to the flock in regards to the shepherds or those that are watching out for and caring for the flock. And I believe this morning that it is important that we honor those that are caring for and watching out for your soul. And I, you know, as these lay pastors give their time and their energy to care for your spiritual well-being, here's what the Bible says, Hebrews 13, 17. Obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give an account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for the lay pastor? No, for you. It would be unprofitable for you. So again, I call attention to the fact that there are those who have given themselves, have committed themselves, and God has gifted to watch out for, to care for. But that can only happen as the congregation reciprocates that responsibility or recognizes that responsibility in these people. You see, it can happen for the person, for the sheep or the horse or the dog or whatever it might be that you're trying to minister to. If they are biting and kicking and scratching, it becomes difficult. When it comes, let me ask you this question. When it comes to soul care, would you rather commit to a stranger who doesn't know you? Or would you rather commit to someone who is watching out for your soul, who needs to give an account to the Almighty God for it? Who is the person that you want to give care to your soul? The Bible says today, again, as I pointed out earlier, we want to give honor to and recognize the lay pastors that serve among us. The Bible says, give honor to whom honor is due. And I believe that honor is due to the lay pastors that have been true team players, and recognizing again that all of us who have been on a team at any time recognize the need for team. And that's throughout all the fellowship of the body, recognizing the need for team. And recognizing that once in a while, you're called upon to take one for the team that doesn't feel good, that is not what you want. But in order to have team and to have that work, we need to be willing sometimes to yield ourselves, give up our ideas, our wants, our what it is. And to bring this thought home as we think about the lay pastors, in the church that I grew up in, there was many different churches recognized in that conference. And so we had baseball teams within different districts or areas. So there was probably 10, 12 different baseball teams, softball, fast pitch we did. And we enjoyed playing ball. So I played a lot of ball. Even after we were married, we played ball. So one day I got home from work and I hurried around to get to Richland to play ball because it was late and trying to do it all the same evening, drug my family along. And I got there, and that night, very good reason, I was asked to sit on the bench and not play that night. And I sat there, and I stewed, and I fumed, and I just was not satisfied with the situation. Until I recognized, you know what, I'm really not helping the team with my attitude. So I had to adjust my attitude. Another ball game. You know, for someone that's playing ball, the ultimate thing is when you get the bat and you step up to the plate there, you know, your goal is to put one out of the park. You want to hit that ball as hard as you can. That's your goal. That's part of what's born and built in you. You want to hit it. Okay? So I got another time that I had to adjust my attitude was there was a person on first base, and I was stepping up the plate. I had opportunity. I would hit it out of the park, which I didn't very often. So understanding, you know, I was not the person to do that. I was asked to bunt. And in bunting, I would surely, almost without a doubt, be thrown out because I wasn't that good at it, but I was asked to do that. It to advance the person from first to second, because the guy in the lineup behind me, he could put him over the fence. Okay, see? So I took one for the team, but I had to adjust my attitude again. So there's so many things that our lay pastors do that the congregation doesn't see. Our lay pastors, they pray for us. They care for you. They're on the phone with you at night times, so it's late or in the day or whenever, when it may be inconvenient. They're on the phone with you, sharing with you. They're watching out for your spiritual well-being. And there really isn't a whole lot of recognition that's given to it. You see what I'm saying? So I ask you this morning, as a fellowship, as a body, honor the lay pastors among us by just thanking them, by encouraging them, by giving them a word of affirmation. And I know that, you know, we should be able to do our job without a lot of affirmation and that kind of thing. But let's be the body of Christ and let's recognize the work that they do. What is a pastor? And here's a quote from Nelson's Illustrated Bible Dictionary. It says, the feeder, the protector, and guide or shepherd of a flock of God's people in New Testament times. And speaking of spiritual gifts, the Apostle Paul wrote that Christ gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, and some teachers, according to Ephesians 4:11. The term pastor, by this time in the church history, had not yet become an official title. The term implied the nourishing of and caring for God's people. The Greek word translated pastors in Ephesians 4:11 is used elsewhere in the New Testament of shepherders, literally or symbolically, of Jesus the Good Shepherd and the shepherds or leaders of the church, Ephesians 4:11. The New King James uses the word pastor only in this verse, is what the Nelson's Illustrated Bible Dictionary is saying. So as we look at lay pastors and we look at what their responsibility is, it is simply this. They are feeders. That is the first definition of pastor, feeder. They are feeders, protectors, and guides. What is a shepherding ministry? Shepherding in the church is tending to the welfare of Christ's followers by watching over, nurturing, and guiding them. Having assessed the condition of flock, shepherds will do what is needful to lead them to a greater Christ-likeness. And the story is told of a man who had 32 head of cattle that he had out on pasture, and he would daily, he would go out and he would count the cattle. So daily he would go out, 32 of them. And then someone older, wiser man said to him that, if your goal is simply to count the cattle and see that they're all there, you're going to miss something. And I think about how true it is with the fellowship of the body. If we are simply going to count numbers. And then one day, as the story went on, one day this young farmer went out, and sure enough, there was only 31, and he found one of them dead in the bushes somewhere. The point being was that cow or whatever it was sick for quite a while before it died, and the shepherd didn't see the sick one because he was simply counting numbers. And so it is in the fellowship in the body of Christ. We need those who will be directly connected, who will recognize when there is a sickness. And Sheldon and Jeff, God has called you to do that. He's given you the gift. And one of the gifts that I have recognized in Jeff and in Sheldon is when you talk to Jeff or you talk to Sheldon, they listen to you. Think about it. That is one of the gifts that God has given both Jeff and Sheldon, is that when you talk to them, they listen to you. Not saying that the rest of you don't, but there is an art, there is a gift to listening to someone when they're talking to you. Okay? And the first thing I believe in shepherding and caring for people is there needs to be the gift of listening. Zipping it and listening. And so that's a very positive gift that I see in these two brothers. Shepherding ministry is not about getting people to follow us, but to follow the great shepherd. We are simply leading people to follow the great shepherd. And I advise you this morning as lay pastors that that be your goal, that be what moves you and motivates you. Why is this necessary? Why is it necessary? One of the things that Paul said just before his leaving this earth in Acts 20, 28 through 30, He said to the disciples, he said this, be on guard for yourselves, first of all, and then for all the flock, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. I know that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves, men will arise, speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after them. So I believe the importance of the shepherds watching out and caring for the flock is recognizing what Paul said, that there are those that would tear the flock apart. That is the goal of the enemy. If you are a child of God, if you are a born-again believer, I am here to tell you this morning, you have one big bullseye right in the middle of your back. And Satan has his eye on it. If you are a born-again believer in Jesus Christ, you have a bullseye. Satan wants it. He wants that mark. He wants to destroy the church. He wants to destroy the church of Jesus Christ. And this morning, I believe it is important that we recognize again that we, as the children of God, be on your guard. As Paul said to them, first of all, care for yourself. So as lay pastors and pastors, I believe it's important that we care for ourselves and then also care for the flock and give heed and give warning. How do we lead? We lead by influence. I believe there's enough of scripture in Bible that says that we are called to lead by influence. And God has given us a responsibility, and it's called stewardship. And many times we think of stewardship as just as money, but I believe in our giftings as we minister, we need to recognize that we are influencing people everywhere we go. The Bible says that you are the salt of the earth. A mother took her young son shopping after a day in the stores. A clerk handed the little boy a lollipop. What do you say? The mother said to the boy, to which he replied, just put it on my credit card. Apparently he had heard that quite often. Another mother was taking her little boy to school since the dad had to go to work early that day. The little boy kept looking around on the way to school. Halfway there, the little boy said, Mom, where are the idiots? What do you mean? And he said, well, said the little boy, usually Dad and I see at least three or four idiots on the way to school. They're listening. People are watching. It doesn't matter what sphere of influence you have, where you are at, people are watching. They are watching your life. What are we supposed to do with our light? Let it shine. Let it shine. Let it so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify who? Our Father in heaven. Amen. We are to let our light shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. That they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. And I must hurry on for the sake of time here. Some of you have already tuned me out this morning because I'm talking to pastors. But let me take just another, just lay that aside momentarily, but not entirely, because this is part of what I want to talk about next, is the whole idea of ministry. So you say, well, I'm not a minister, I'm not a preacher, I'm not a teacher, or whatever it is. I'm not a minister. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. We are all called to be ministers. When the Holy Spirit has come upon us, we will be witnesses of Jesus Christ, of the gospel to the world. We are ministers wherever we are at. So I'm speaking to all of us this morning. The whole idea, what does it mean, ministry? What is ministry? What is it? Okay, we look in the Bible and we see these here gifts that are outlined here in Romans 12 and Ephesians 4 and 1 Corinthians 12 and 1 Peter 6, I think it is, or 5, I believe it is. But anyway, I think sometimes what has hindered us so much from being able to be the ministers that God has called us to be is the idea we have of ministry. So if I'm not preaching or teaching or whatever else it might be, then I'm not a minister. Not true. Because I believe that all of us are called in some way or another to be a minister. If you are a child of God this morning, if you are a child of God, then you are in ministry. If you're not, you better be. No matter what you're doing, where you're at. And I think one of the things that has hindered us is the idea that I'm not a minister. I need to get involved in a ministry. Stay with me. Ministry is serving others for the sake of the gospel. Ministry. The definition of ministry is much broader, I think, than what we have recognized, and that is not restricted to any geographical location. Ministry is not restricted to what is happening here on a Sunday morning. Ministry is not restricted to what is happening in small group on Wednesday nights. Ministry is not restricted to just ministering to believers in Jesus Christ. See, we can minister to all people because I believe it is God's heart that we minister to the lost and the dying as well, and that we not miss that in our understanding of ministry. Let me say, when you read or hear teaching on spiritual gifts, it usually includes these main points. Everyone has a spiritual gift, perhaps more than one. Okay? We've all heard that. Everyone has a spiritual gift, perhaps more than one. Spiritual gifts are distributed by God, the Holy Spirit, as He pleases. Okay? Agreed. The purpose for which God distributes the spiritual gifts is ministry. Agreed. Fourth, there is a list or a set of lists in the Bible that together encompass the various kinds of gifts. And here's where I believe possibly we may have adopted an idea that this is the gifts that are listed in the Bible are the only thing that are ministries. And so I think it's important that we take a look at it. You must therefore determine which of the gifts on the list you have received so that you can exercise it. Okay? When you look at it that way, when you look at the gifts that are listed there in the Bible, there is nothing in there about feeding your neighbor's cat while your neighbor is on vacation. Where do we put that? What category does that fit in? What category does stopping along the road to help a stranger fix a flat tire? What category does that fit in? These are all acts of ministry. What is painting the backboards for a vacation Bible school? Where does that fit in? In other words, if what happens in church building on Sunday morning is your definition of ministry, I think you have missed it. So I am saying this morning, in light of the idea that we are all called to minister, and God has gifted all of us with ministry. If you want to feed the neighbor's cat, that's entirely up to you. Don't ask me to. Just a little side note here. I found out a way to clean a cat. You take a cat, you squirt a little bit of soap on him, and you stick him in the toilet, and you shut the lid quickly, and you flush it a couple times. You make sure you keep your fingers away from the edges. When you're done, you flip the lid up, and the cat will run out of the room and self-dry. See? Okay, that was for what it's worth. I never tried it. So, one of the things that I think you will be surprised to find that in the Bible there is a gift of embroidery. You're saying, what? Now he's really lost his mind. He's telling stupid cat stories, and now he's saying there's the gift of embroidery in the Bible. Let me read in Exodus 35, 30 through 35. Then Moses said to the Israelites, see, the Lord has chosen Bezalel, son of Uri, the son of Hur, the tribe of Judah, and he has filled him with the Spirit of God, with wisdom, with understanding, with knowledge, and all kinds of skills, to make artistic designs for work in gold, silver, and bronze, to cut and set stones, to work in wood, to engage in all kinds of artistic crafts. And he has given both him and another guy, a couple other guys of the tribe of Dan, the ability to teach others. He has filled them with skill to do all kinds of work as engravers, designers, embroiderers in blue, purple, and scarlet yarn, and fine linen, and weavers, all of them skilled workers and designers. So what is God saying? as we see this here, obviously, God's Spirit filled these men to be able to do the work of embroidery, gold work, carpentry, if you will. The key point this morning is that everyone involved in the construction of the tabernacle at that time, everyone involved in the construction of it, fashioning priestly garments, the temple furnishings, the cups, the bowls, the furniture, they were all enabled to do the work by who? By God. So I ask you again this morning, what you're doing, where did these abilities come from? What do you think? How do you think God gave you the ability to do what you do? If you're a carpenter here this morning, who gave you the ability to be a carpenter? If you're a salesman here this morning, who gave you the ability to be a salesman? If you fix cars, if you drive truck, whatever it is, all of these can be used to the honor and glory of God, and we need to stop believing that what I'm doing is worthless and nothing before the Father, because God has gifted you. He has given you a ministry. You mothers who are at home with your children, God has given you a ministry. And I say, function in it to the honor and the glory of God. Those fathers among us here this morning who have given yourselves to provide for your family, whether it be through being a carpenter or a salesman or whatever it might be, God has gifted you with the ability to do that. Use it for ministry. Use it for ministry. You see, I think we have to be careful because we do, at times, we fall into this trap that if God has given me the gift or the ability to do it and I can make a lot of money, and so therefore it's okay for me to just to make a lot of money and buy myself a new boat and buy myself a new house, buy myself a new car, whatever it might be. I ask you, and I'm not condemning you, I ask you, are you using it to the honor and glory of God? Is it a ministry to the honor and the glory of God for the furtherance of His kingdom? How are you using your gifts? If you're a salesman, you have opportunity like nobody else has to be able to speak with people, to sit down and share with them and talk with them. It's a real talking thing salesmen do, you know? They have opportunity. Use it to the honor and glory of God. Are you using your gifts of embroidery or carpentry or whatever it might be to the honor and glory of God? Are you using your gift as a mother to instill in those young children daily, every day you have opportunity to minister to them? And I call you to minister to them with all your being. Not going, we've all heard the terms of full-time ministry. And I'm kind of amused by that, because if we are children of God, then we should be in full-time ministry, amen? Amen. Come on, it's okay. As children of God, we should be in full-time ministry all the time. And so I get a little, I don't understand sometimes the whole idea of what separates full-time ministry. You know what I'm saying? I don't understand quite what separates full-time ministry. So because God hasn't called you to go somewhere or do something different, doesn't mean that you're in less of a ministry or that you're not where God wants you to be. Because I believe God has empowered you. He has graced you. As it says here, and I kind of got carried away here, it says in Romans 12:3, "For I say to you through the grace given to me that everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think." Okay, so someone else has a gift of, I wish that I could carpenter. I wish that I could work with wood. You don't want me working with wood around your house. Give me a wrench, I'll do okay, but not with wood. So am I better than a carpenter because I'm a mechanic? No, it's a different gift. And I do it with the grace that God has given me. Am I better because of what God has given me? No, he's saying, watch it. Be careful, think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. And by that faith, we are called to work. For as many have members of one body, Okay, it's verse 6. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. By the grace given to us, let us use them. So the next time someone says to you, well, I'm in full-time ministry, and you feel guilty, it's like, well, all I do is I stay home and I take care of children, or I go to work every day and that's all I do. Stop feeling guilty. And tell them that you are in full-time ministry too. Because if you're doing it to the honor and glory of God, that's exactly what you're doing. Verse 8, he who exhorts to exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. We all have our place. We all have our place. And again, this morning, as I shared about ministry, and one of the things that I think is so important for us to understand is that the work of our lay pastors here is a ministry. And the only way that the ministry of our lay pastors can work is if that is received by the congregation. And I want to encourage you a little bit this morning. Why do you think so many Christian ministries come to Lancaster County for their fundraiser banquets and sales and those kind of things? Why do you think they come to Lancaster County? Because you are giving people. You're giving people. That's why. And I encourage you in it. Is it a ministry? Sure, it's a ministry. If it's being used to the honor and glory of God. Is the person supporting the person across the world any less full-time ministry than the person who is doing? Because they can't do and without support. So I encourage you, use it to the honor and glory of God. Fathers, use the gift given to you. Teach your children. Provide for your family. Mothers, God has blessed you with ministry. And lay pastors, I want to challenge you again this morning to recognize the gift that God has given you, that is in you, to use it to the honor and glory of God. And the church, to the church this morning, it is not possible for the lay pastors to work if the church does not receive them as ministers and does not receive them as shepherds, does not receive them as part of the caring for the congregation. So I think it's important this morning that the church embrace the gift that God has given through the lay pastors. So again this morning, I encourage you to carry on. Find where it is that God has called you into ministry. Do it with all your might. And again this morning, I believe that God will bless you. I don't just believe, I know that God will bless you with the gifts to do it in whatever realm it is that you're called to do it. Father, we thank you again this morning for your goodness. Thank you, Lord, for your written word. I pray, Father, that you would take the word this morning, the whole idea of us being one body but many members, Lord, that it would be renewed in our minds and that we would each be able to find the place that we serve and that we would do it to the honor and glory of you. God, I pray for the congregation this morning. I pray, Lord, that you would continue to pour out your spirit upon us, Lord, that we would be able to recognize again this morning that truly we have been with you and that our hope and our trust and our life is in you, Lord. And Lord, if there are those here this morning who do not know you, God, I pray that in this time this morning you would minister and speak to their hearts. Lord, I pray that each one here this morning would be able to embrace knowing the good, the great shepherd. And that today, Lord, you would receive the honor and the glory for all the things that are said and done. In Jesus' name, amen.